your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
What's up? Massive win by the Islanders, episode 85 of Skates at the Stakes. I'm your host, AJ DeVito, and it's been, a week and a half now since we last recorded. We missed four games. We took a literal vacation. The three of us, went to Buffalo. That was really fun. We'll talk about that a little bit. We had to watch these scumbag Rangers. But boys, these New York Islanders tonight, Pierre Engvall, he rocks. Hudson Fashing rocks. Zach Parise rocks. Brock rocks. Obviously, Brock rocks. Yes, it's the Anaheim Ducks. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to celebrate the boring Islanders putting up six goals in a hockey game, though. How are we feeling? Ryan, let's kick it off to you first.
Hey, everyone. So tonight, right before our podcast, Kyle Palmieri decided to go duck hunting in Anaheim. So kid went off, not even a kid at this point. Yeah, Palms absolutely went off tonight. Awesome stuff. The Islanders went down early to the Ducks, and a lot of people were kind of thinking this West Coast trip might have been like, you know, an unforeseen kind of bump in the road for this team, but the team's coming out strong, playing really well tonight. So tonight we're going to cover the Penguins win, an emphatic Penguins win last Thursday night, which was absolutely awesome. Then they kind of, you know, looked feeble against the Caps, but you're allowed to have one like that if you win three big games in a row, in my opinion. And we'll probably get into that a little bit more later. But then kind of the panic button started to get pushed a little bit against the Kings. And if they lost to the Ducks tonight, the tone of this year podcast would be very dire, very brutal. But the team was able to come out hot tonight. You know, not even really come out hot. They just were able to bounce back really hard, outplayed the Ducks, outworked them. Like, I'm looking at the deserve to win and meet them now and smiling because they looked awesome. Just happy with the performances tonight. You know, we're looking forward to playing the Sharks and kind of scoreboard watching the next couple days. But, you know, really, really good win for the Islanders tonight. Really good to see the team get going. And I'm starting to really like the math here. I'm starting to smell these playoffs. We'll see where it goes. Jake, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good. Great win. Obviously, was with AJ for the past two games, and they lost. Wasn't with him tonight, and they won. So might be a new superstition. Don't watch with AJ. But great win. We'll get into it. But the second line today, absolutely buzzing. Technically, a Kyle Palmieri revenge game, and 4 points to show for it. What a player. What an Italian man. We love Italians. And, yeah, we're just going to break these four games down.
The Italians really taking over right before St. Patrick's Day, isn't it?
Actually, St. Joseph's Day is the big Italian holiday, March 19th, the day near and dear to all of our hearts, as it is both my birthday and an Italian day of celebration, St. Joseph's Day.
Yep. That is also
coming up.
So Palms
is heating up at the right time. Him on St. Joseph's Day against the Ducks after hours, I guess, on the East Coast, it'll be St. Joseph's Day. Those are going to be absolute scenes.
Yeah, Palms absolutely ruled tonight. 4 points, career high. It was funny because I was on Twitter and people were complaining about Palms. I know Jake's best friend Rob Todd was defending Palms. And then Palms got a third and fourth point. He just dunked on this guy. It was so funny. So shout out Rob Tubb for backing Palms. We backed that here. Big Palms guy. Our podcast is, of course.
Yeah, love the Italian stallion himself. And if he can get going down the stretch, like, this second line is so good right now. Like, if you slot Barzal on the first line, if he's able to come back before the end of the season, which it seems like a big if every week we go on here. But, you know, if they're ready, Gambar's all ready to go down the stretch, because I think we're at this point 12 games left.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly 12 games left. If he's good for the final five and the second line buzzes like it does tonight, and we're able to get this third line, which looks absolutely, it looks really good with either Fashing or Holmstrom on the third line. I'm really excited to see where we're going from here, because, like, once we get Bo going again and Lee going again on the top line, things are going to be awesome, but we'll get into Anders Lee in a second here when we get into the Penguins game.
Yeah, right on. That's been their biggest issue so far. I know Lee did have two goals against the Penguins the other night, like we'll talk about, but Horvat, he hasn't scored recently. He's been good. I'm not saying he's been bad, but we need to see goals out of him. We need to see points out of him. Yes, he's playing with Anders Lee, who doesn't really create much. He needs Barzal back, but I still would like a little bit more out of Horvat offensively. He's really snake-bitten right now. The PDO's going down. Oh, my God. He'll be fine. I'm not worried about Bo Horvat. He rocks. All the Ranger fans sucking off. Oh, Beauvillier's been better. I don't care. Shut up. But I was watching the game tonight, and I was thinking, did the Islanders finally find a player that could actually play with Matthew Barzal and Pierre Engvall? They finally found someone that has the speed and even the skill to maybe make things work with Matthew Barzal. What do you guys think?
He's such a fun little player, man. Him and Fasching both have like very similar styles of game where they play really smart. They play really hard. He's not like, you know, the Leafs fans were right. He's not laying us up around the boards. Like, he's not throwing big hits or anything. But the way he forechecks is something that you don't really see much, where he plays this really soft, like not really soft, but like this technical forechecking game where he's able to win the puck up the ice without throwing the body and kind of leaving himself exposed against the boards. Like, he's able to jump back into the play because he wins the puck back with his stick. And I don't really know too many players on this hard-hitting Islanders team over the past couple of years that are able to do stuff like that. So if you're able to run out like a Barzal, Horvat, and, you know, Engvall line, I think it could work really well. I'm really excited to see what that kind of turns into. But even with him and Brock, like, he's perfectly complementing Brock Nelson's game right now, and Palms is able to kind of fill into more of a, you know, not the pure goal scorer we thought Kyle Palmieri was going to be and what he was in the playoff run in 2021. It's kind of become like Palmieri's playing the Bailey role, and it feels like the Killer Bees line with a smarter version of Beauvillier. That's kind of what it felt like tonight, and I know they were good against the Kings last night. That line was honking, in my opinion. But yeah, no, I think you could play really well with Barzal. I think you're going to want to try Lee, Horvat, Barzal, because Barzal is going to bring the speed to that line for a little bit. But if the end game here is going to be Barzal, like Horvat, Engvall, two of whom are on big contracts, one of whom has a contract in the drawer probably, that line would honk. Like, that would be a fun-ass line to watch every night. Jake, how are you feeling about Engvall?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, fun little player, except, you know, he's a tall guy, he's 6'5". But that pass to Palmieri, unreal pass, and he just keeps scoring. Like we said, 3 goals in 3 games. Obviously, 2 of those were losses, but it's good to see him kind of producing, because at the beginning of his Isles tenure, you know, he was getting benched in the third period. So it's good that he's found a spot in that second line. And obviously, hindsight right now, he could work with Barzal. We'd have to see it happen. But I really like him on the second line. I mean, the second line was flying today. Obviously, Brock with 2 goals, Engvall with 2 points, and obviously Kyle Palmieri with 4. I really like the lines tonight. Obviously, no Josh Bailey is A-okay with me. I know they kind of flip-flopped Fasching and Holmstrom throughout the night. But for now, I think those that personnel should stay. And I mean, they looked great tonight. Again, I know it's Anaheim, but they've won a game they're supposed to win, and that's what you need to do in a playoff race like this.
They need to re-sign Fasching and Engvall as soon as possible. If one of these guys are not a New York Islander starting next year, I'm going to be livid. Josh Bailey's Islander career might be over, probably should be over, as sad as it is to say. You cannot keep him and his cap around and not have Pierre Engvall and Hudson Fasching in this lineup night in, night out. It's crazy to say that. These guys rock. They're so good, man. You can't have Cal Clutterbuck playing over these guys. You can't have Bailey playing over these guys. Both these players are really good NHL players, and they're ours. When have we said that? We have great depth pieces. We've always been known for being a deep team, and we weren't, you know, a top-heavy team. The deep New York Islanders got even deeper and younger and more fun. Engvall is so much fun to watch. Every time he has a puck, he's like a little roadrunner up there. Well, not little, 6'5", like Jake said. He's a roadrunner. He's going up the ice and making shit happen. And Hudson rocks. We all know how much we love Hudson here.
Yeah, you have an established bottom six player and an established top nine player. You got to keep him around. I think that's in Lou's mind. I don't think Lou is going to let Hudson Fasching go. I know Hudson Fasching has established a desire to extend the Islanders. I know we don't know if he ever wants to do that, but we'll have to see. He's familiar with Lou, and, you know, he keeps cooking like this. I don't think he's going to just say bye. And again, a goal for Hudson. Having quite a few week and a half goals in his past 4 games. I think it's 3-4, 3-5, whatever. Good goal today. And again, I thought everyone looked good today. it's clear. I'm glad they give Sorokin a little bit of a breather at the end there. It looks like he needs a little bit some rest. Maybe Varley can go Saturday, but we'll have to see. But, yeah, back to Engvall and Fashion. I mean, you got to get those guys back because you can obviously see what happens, and you got to get Bailey and quarterback out of the lineup.
Even Holmstrom, like, I know he hasn't been putting up the points too, but just giving that youthful kick to the lineup, like, next year, even on the pecking order, if Holmstrom has to be the 13th forward or, you know, a bottom line guy, I think you have to do that, even at the expense of Cal and Bailey at this point, and maybe even Matty Martz, like, just to be able to get that depth and that burst of energy in the lineup. Like, that third line today was killing it as well, the Parise, Peugeot, and Holmstrom line. Even if, you know, Parise is not coming back next year, bless his heart, hope he chooses us again. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where we do have some young guys in the lineup, guys under 30 who are going to be able to produce on this team for a couple of years. And I think getting these extensions done are kind of crucial. I know we beat up on Lou, or the fan base does that. I don't think the three of us really do, for, you know, a lot of the time sticking with what we got instead of what we could get on the market. And sure, it's bit us in the ass a couple times over the years. You know, you could point at like a Sonny Milano or something like that, where we could have got a depth guy for league men and made him into something. But, you know, we're kind of finding these guys along our way, and this is a really good opportunity to commit to these guys, give them a little breathing room, some financial security, and keep them on Long Island for the long run. Because Fashing realistically is going to cost under $2 million. Engvall is realistically going to cost under, you know, he's better. I know Beauvillier's stats are great right now, but he's not going to get the amount of money that Beauvillier got. And I think he's around the player that Beauvillier was, peak of his powers, before Beauvillier fell off here. And Holmstrom, you don't really have to pay for a while. Plus, they'll have Oliver Wahlstrom coming back next year. I think this phase two we're kind of moving into of Lou Islanders, call it, you know, a retool or refresh of the lineup, could look entirely different next year than what we've looked at kind of the year before with some of the younger pieces we can slot in.
Yeah, I'd never want to hear Sonny Milano's name again, honestly. Long Island born, I root for the kid. But trying to compare Milano to Engvall, it's just night and day. Engvall's incredible. Incredible two-way player. Faster skater. He doesn't have the hands that Milano has, sure, but how could you not love Pierre Engvall? So hopefully we bring him back. I'm going to say 3x3 maybe. And Hudson.
Sounds about right with me.
And then maybe Hudson 2 years, 2.5. Maybe that might be a little bit too much for Hudson. Maybe 2 years, 2. I don't know.
Completely fine by me. And then you got to figure out Scotty and Varley in the summer. But we should have the cap space to do all of this while bringing back Barzal and Horvat. Wahlstrom RFA, we'll see where that goes. I think they want to probably bring him back and give him another, you know, I'm not going to say a Bellows-style test run, but you give him a little bit of a raise, and then let's see what the kid has next year. Even though his talent level's much higher than Bellows, I know people do get kind of a sour taste in their mouth when talking about Oliver Wahlstrom these days. But I think once he's fully healthy and able to get back out there and play his game, I think he can be a middle sixer. But we'll see. I mean, the team's moving into a new phase, and they've got a lot of young youth throughout the lineup, even though we can kind of talk about here the little bit of bad vibes from Cal coming back and like, oh, are we really going to do this again? Do we really have to reunite the identity line? The identity line was really good tonight. I thought it was fine. And, you know, eventually when Barzal's back in the lineup, Cal should probably be the first to go because we have a bunch of guys that you can just pull down to that fourth line, be it Fash, be it Holmstrom. We'll see where they go. It's probably going to be Holmstrom coming out of the lineup when Barzal's back, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, right on. I said the same thing today. I was talking to Connor. There's no reason for Cal Clutterbuck to be playing over Durando. I'm not going to hype up Durando. He was really good. I understand they're going to play Clutterbuck over him. Just, I don't know. Clutterbuck doesn't really have it anymore. I respect him for coming back and, you know, injury after injury. But when's enough going to be enough of this guy? Islander, I won't say an Islander legend, but very memorable Islander. He just doesn't really have it anymore. And I know he's just coming back. He has to get the rust off. They were playing a fast-paced hockey game with Durando. With the fourth line, it's just so dreadful to watch sometimes. I do know that he was the third highest XG, whatever. I don't know how to explain it. You guys are the more analytical than I am. He was the third highest for the expected goals amount on the New York Islanders in the Kings game. So I'm not saying he was a problem or the reason we lost, because Matt Martin was a pretty big reason why we lost that game. But the fourth line, how much longer can it really run? Can it go another year? Could it go another few weeks? I don't know. I like the team when they're playing faster, obviously. No shit, everyone wants to watch fun, fast hockey. But you have Durando, who could also help them play fun, fast hockey, and is a better player than Cal Clutterbuck right now, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, I think the Cal thing, it has to stop, because I think Fashion looked great with Cizikas and Martin. I think that should be the fourth line, the new identity line, so to say. And we talked about this yesterday. I mean, the fourth line was dreadful yesterday. And yes, it was better today, but I just don't see how long this can go. And I know you can call it Durando, but I just, you know, I just like Fashion next to Martin and Cizikas. I think that should be the fourth line. Good for Cal for fighting back and, you know, playing. But, you know, he's beyond cooked at this point. So we'll see how much it goes further. But Barzell's back. I don't want Clutterbuck in the lineup, obviously.
Very fair.
Yeah, all love to Cal Clutterbuck, beloved New York Islander, probably the third most loved member of the identity line. But still, like, you know, he's a folk hero here. He's been along for the long run. You know, AJ's right, not like Islander legend, but definitely a guy who's we're all going to remember with fond memories, and we're not going to remember the, hopefully not remember the kind of more washed up player he's been this year, but hopefully gets the rust off and proves us wrong here, because like going down the stretch, we need guys who can hit hard, and you know, having that tool in the playoffs is much better than having Ross Johnson as your 13th forward if we're able to augment the lineup. But you know, Lou and someone in the front office loves the identity line. They keep getting paid. They keep getting brought back. To kind of talk on Cal's analytics the other night, he just had the, like, he had enough shots that he generated XG. It wasn't really anything special there. He only had like 0.29 expected goals, which is like whatever for a normal performance. But none of the other Islanders are really getting the puck on the net against the Kings. So he wound up like washing out in the middle with XG differential, but nothing crazy. We'll see where the Cal thing goes. They played a good game tonight. They'll probably play a good game against the Sharks, because their talent level seems to have, you know, juked the King, or juked, I mix up my West Coast team, but juked the Ducks for being the worst team in the Pacific Division. So we'll see if that line can get going against the Sharks as well. But as we approach some hard games down the stretch, and we kind of run into like our sixth or seventh gauntlet of the season before the playoffs, so it's going to be interesting seeing what we do with Cal and seeing how much longer he wants to stay in the lineup here. Yeah, so kind of to jump back in time a little bit, absolutely emphatic win last Thursday night over the Penguins. We were going to try to talk about it over the weekend on a mini pod, but we were just kind of wrapped up in our vacation, which we'll talk about the Skates at the Stakes first annual road trip. But yeah, so to kind of hop into it here, the Islanders were down and out to the Penguins. Really just not great performance. The Penguins showed up. We didn't. But there was always that little bit of Tristan Jarry going on, and the game was 3-1 towards the end, and everyone was like kind of feeling down now. Can the Islanders really do this? Do they deserve to be here? Can they sweep the Penguins on the season? The copium was running through my veins. I was all very, very like, oh, 3-1 against the Pens on the year. I guess I'll take that. But then Hudson Fashion got a quick one, made it 3-2. Anders Lee was able to bury like one of those great Islander goals where he fights to the last minute, tucks the puck past Jarry on the puck. Jarry probably saved. Tristan Jarry finds a way to be embedded in Islanders lore yet again. Go to overtime. Absolutely epic pass across the ice by Ilya Sorokin. I don't use the word epic much, but it was a wonderful pass with the poke check that was able to get the puck down to Brock Nelson, who buried it. And 4-0 against the Pens on the year. I know one of the kind of narratives a lot of people like to draw about this Islanders team is they don't beat the good teams. And, you know, say what you want about the Penguins, but we beat the Penguins. Can't say we didn't beat the Penguins this year. And those points were kind of really needed, you know, kind of all season we talked about, oh, how well are we going to do against the Penguins? Those points are going to be really important. Well, we're going to walk away from those Penguins games with 8 points, 8 resounding wins for a team that, you know, you never know. You could see in the playoffs at some point if the 7-8 seed make it to the Eastern Conference Final. And it brings us so much closer to the Penguins than we would be in case that we're going to fight for that 7 seed down the stretch, in case we can leapfrog them one more time and be able to get a Carolina team or a New Jersey team that is definitely a lot less intimidating than the Boston Bruins. So big win there against the Penguins. Anyone got any kind of thoughts on that absolutely epic and wonderful performance? I wound up traveling out to AJ's after the game and giving him a hug. That's how happy I was.
My rule of thumb is if you can get a goal, if you're down two and you can get a goal back before, you know, the 5-minute mark, you're fine. We've seen it many times in hockey. Hockey's a weird sport. A lot of comebacks have been happening the last few years. It's awesome. But once they got that first one, you kind of just felt it was just going to go their way. And I was so happy that they even managed to get a point out of that game because they were terrible the first two periods. They got the power play goal early in the game, and then they just died in front of Sorokin. The fact that they were able to man up, ball up, and just get 2 points out of that game in a must-win game, it was a champion-like performance, as Ryan has said plenty of times in this podcast.
Yeah, obviously a gutsy performance, and just from, like, the overtime, I know Palmieri missed the breakaway, which is fine by me, because what a play by Ilya Sorokin for his first career assist and point. Just to be able to swing the stick and kind of time that perfectly to Brock Nelson, who just absolutely, absolutely owns the Penguins. I believe that was his 28th because he got his 29th and 30th today. But what a goal, what a game. Hudson Fashing, too, to cut the lead back, and then Andersley at the end there. Just a gutsy performance, and like we said, 8 huge points there. Just that was a great win, and then we go to Saturday, which was not a great game at all.
Yeah, so we took a road trip up to Buffalo, go scout out these Buffalo Super Sabres ourselves. You know, we've been planning this for a little bit, going up to visit Jake. So we wound up picking him up and went up to Buffalo for the weekend, had a great weekend with our pals, my pals AJ and Jake, as well as our pal Connor, former host here at Skates at the Stakes. We had a good weekend. We wound up going to the Sabres game on Saturday as they played the New York Rangers. Absolutely evil hellhole of a place to be as an Islanders fan, because half of us probably were like, well, internally we were all like, oh, we want the Sabres to lose here, but the other half was like, oh, I don't want the Rangers to win here. So yeah, it was like kind of, it was a fun hockey game, and it was really cool seeing Key Bank from the inside. But yeah, we had a good time there. And then after we went back to our B&B, watched a little bit of Islanders and Caps, watched the kind of wheels fall off the bus in the second period there. And honestly, you know, the boys fought so hard to get those games against Pittsburgh and Buffalo and Detroit throughout the week that I give them a free pass on that one. You're allowed to shit the bed against the Caps one game. Like, you know, that week was basically a playoff series for us, and we came out of it up 3-1. So we were able to make up all the math. The teams around us did what they needed to do in terms of losing hockey games enough that we were able to be a little comfortable and take a loss there to the Caps. The Caps are, you know, really grasping at straws in their playoff race as well. They can always come back down the stretch. You never know with Washington, but felt, you know, completely numb and normal about the Islanders losing there, contrary to a lot of people on the Bird app freaking out.
Yeah, it was definitely a hockey game that we watched. The Sabres game was fun. Way too many Ranger fans there. I wanted to shoot myself. There was a lot of Islander fans at Key Bank Center that night. There was a hockey tournament going on, so there's some Long Island kids there. Our friend Jack was there, was an Islander fan. We even started a Let's Go Islander chant on the way out with some Long Island kids, which just ruled. We just took over Key Bank Center. I had a good time. One guy that we're going to, you know, bring everything back to that we talked on this podcast plenty of times, and Jordan Greenway looked so good when we went. He's a really good hockey player. I'm very happy we have Pierre Engvall. But Jordan Greenway looked like an absolute monster out there. He was bodying everyone, just making Nico Mikola's life a living hell out there. I really respect Jordan Greenway's style of play. I think he would have been a great Islander. But I'm also very happy we got Pierre Engvall, and we will have Pierre Engvall hopefully for the next 3 or 4 years. But I think with all the Greenway talk we had a few podcasts ago, we should give him, you know, the nod and the shout out for his really good play.
When we were there, I like wondered to myself, why are Sabre fans complaining about Victor Olofsson? Like, he's having a pretty good year. And then the game happened. I'm like, oh, That's why Sabre fans don't like Victor Olsen. Just a terrible game by him. But I think Green Bay's been really well with Buffalo right now. That was a good acquisition by them. I think it was only a second round pick. He can be great on the golf course in a few months, as hopefully they miss the playoffs and we make it.
Yeah, long term, I love the kind of pickup for Buffalo. And, you know, he was having a bad year in Minnesota, but I've always really liked the player. So I'm glad that they're able to get him going. You know, if we're going to make that trade off and get Engvall instead, Engvall was kind of the unexpected guy to get at the deadline there, but completely fine with the pickup. Really, really just happy with the player Pierre's been. Yeah, and, you know, fun trip. We were able to see Niagara Falls. We came back to Tuesday. We got smoked by the LA Kings. The Kings are the antithesis of the New York Islanders. They play very chaotic hockey. They have, you know, many fun, young, upside players, as well as some vets that I absolutely love in that lineup. And I think they're kind of poised to make a run in the playoffs if everything breaks right for them. And a new-look goalie. Korpisalo was very good against us for the most part. But yeah, the Islanders weren't able to really keep up with the Kings. Personally, you know, my copium there was daylight savings time, and we had to go out to the West Coast. The two things combined are never really a good idea. I really hate doing the West Coast trip at the end of the season. One being, I'm a little older now. I don't love West Coast games because they keep me up at night. But then two would also be kind of the, you know, just the it would be better to just put this in the rear view at the beginning of the season. These games don't have to matter. So the West Coast weirdness, we don't really have to be as aware of it, but like having a back-to-back on the West Coast right after daylight savings time, I was like, oh, this does suck. And the first game did, second game didn't, so that was kind of my thoughts on the Kings game. A couple of good performances. We got to see that Palmieri, Nelson, and Engvall line look pretty good all night, and Bo Horvat was getting high danger chances, just nothing's going in the net right now for Bo, but you know, I'm still patient with Horvat.
Yeah, the Kings are kind of like our California natural predators at this point. It's almost a scheduled loss every time we play them. Hopefully that can change, but they're a really good hockey team this year. The way they defend is incredible. They were just giving us nothing. The way they're just able to box players out and just block every shot. As a non-biased hockey fan, it was a, you know, it's a spectacle to see. I like defense. They played really good defense. But as an Islander fan, I couldn't stand it because we could get nothing generated at all. But that's the way it goes. They outplayed us, they outworked us, and fair play. Also, that Matt Martin penalty was really stupid. He took Rasmus Kapari's helmet and just threw it across the ice for no reason. And then Zach Parise, like a minute, not even a minute later, took a tripping penalty, and they had a 5-on-3, and that's when the game was just going way downhill.
Yeah, the Kings are kind of owning us recently. I mean, two times this season has been very similar games. I'm not freaking out about it, but, you know, if they're going to be a boogeyman, they play the absolute opposite style of hockey than we do. They're just XG generating, a little more open on the back end, but they played a good defensive game against us, and be it weirdness, be it whatever. It happens sometimes, who cares? And then things could have really fell off the bus tonight. If we lost, then we're back in kind of the mushy middle with the, not the Ottawas, but like more the Sabres and the Panthers. And we were able to pick up a big win. I know we went in depth on it to start the pod because that's the most recent game, but really, really fun stuff there. The boys showed out, the very boring New York Islanders were able to overcome a worldy goal assist by Trevor Zegras, which should have probably counted by for five goals with how many times the NHL show it instead of any of our goals. That's a joke. They'll probably show all of our goals. It's just me being a little salty about how we're covered. But yeah, no, really, really good performance. Game we had to win against a bad team. We take those. And hopefully we can turn that into some momentum Saturday night against the Sharks. I know we got a couple more games coming up that are going to be pretty big. I'm just pulling up like what our next couple are going to be. Got to beat the Sharks here. Sharks are the worst team in the league. Got to do the double here. Then Tuesday we play Toronto, the Pierre Engvall revenge game. Very exciting stuff. That's also the game Ryan O'Reilly is supposed to come back. I don't think he's come back already, but the injury prognosis, I believe, had him lined up to return against the Islanders the 21st, so that'll be fun. And then we play the Jackets next week, which must win. You know, all these games from now on are pretty much like not must wins, but let's cut that the magic number down. I think we're at 26 is the magic number, so that means throughout the regular season we're going to need a little, not a little bit of help, because the teams around us are going to lose, but playing near perfect hockey is going to be the best way to get us in shape for the playoffs, because we're going to run into either Boston, Carolina, New Jersey, depending on where the seeds fall or the chips fall. And it'll be entertaining nonetheless. Like, you just got Gesme points here. Hope you get that 7 seed. Not to say I'm terrified of Boston or anything, because we've hit Sorokin from them all season for a reason. Like, there was kind of that ongoing narrative, Barley's better, but I think by the last time we played Boston, it was just kind of like, okay, let's just not have them face Sorokin. See if he can have his confidence against them in the playoffs, and we're able to pull off some magic here. Have our Columbus Blue Jackets, I believe that was 2018 moment, where the bottom seed knocked off the best team in hockey, because the Bruins are awesome right now. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Excited for the playoffs. Excited to see what. Hopefully we make it. If we don't make it at this point, I think it's a disaster. But we'll see where it goes there.
Or hear me out. The Penguins lose a lot of hockey games because they're bad. You either play the Devils with no playoff experience, or the Hurricanes without Svechnikov, and Aho has been struggling a fuck ton right now. If you can somehow get in, I know we got to make playoffs, yada, yada, yada. If you could find your way into that wild card one spot, you could honestly look at yourself getting another potential conference finals run. I know it's not an easy matchup either way. It's not a guaranteed sweep, but I would really like my odds as wild card one for the Islanders to make a pretty deep playoff run.
Penguins have a really hard schedule down the stretch. We'll see where they go from there. They basically play all playoff teams or bubble playoff teams until the end of the season, which the final two games of the year they wind up playing, I believe it's Columbus and Chicago. So, you know, those might be a little easier for the Penguins, but if we can catch them and put them in a point where they have to win every game to get that 7 seed. I agree with the logic there, AJ. You know, the Devils are unproven. We've seen some fun games between us and them. We play them one more time before the season over. Carolina, you know, they owned us twice this year, but I still think we have a little bit of magic for them, and they're so, you know, weirdly variant all the time. Like, I saw a tweet last week saying they were the best team in the league, and then Svechnikov immediately got injured, which prayers up to Svech. I hope he feels better, but we'll see where it goes from there. I mean, you know, feels better after they play the Islanders, of course. But, you know, he's going to be done for the year, and they really don't have many high-powered weapons in their offense if Sorokin's able to steal a series there. But besides that, you know, just excited to see where this team's going down the stretch. Bunch of big games coming up, really fun. We're going to be on the pod covering them. And, yeah, that's basically all I got to say about Islanders hockey right now.
Yeah, so 4 games. Not the best 4 games, but they were definitely 4 hockey games. I'm not too upset. Just beat the Sharks. Beat the Sharks, and you take 2 out of 3. That's what we won from this road trip. And then next week, we have Toronto, we have Columbus, and we have Buffalo. Take 2 out of 3 there. Just keep racking up 4-point weeks, and you're happy. Win 2 out of 3 every time, you know?
Just win, baby.
Do we have anything else we want to say, or we're going to keep it short? Because I know it is currently almost 1:30.
Nothing crazy. Welcome to New England, Juju Smith-Schuster and James Robinson, and see ya. I'm already forgetting his name, Jacoby Myers. We'll see you on the bright side, Jacoby. That one pass seems to have cost you $3 extra million because they went out and got Juju. Anything fun in Steeler land, AJ?
I'm happy for Juju, first and foremost, as he was a former Steeler way back when. We got a few decent players. Nobody too noteworthy. We got a offensive lineman, middle linebacker, Holcomb. I'm happy with the moves. Nothing like flashy like Juju though.
Sounds good, Jake. Anything good in Giants world? I've heard the reports of New York Giants.
Darren Waller's New York Giant. So is Bobby Okereke.
I have a bad take. I don't think Darren Waller is going to be that great with the Giants. I see it being a Golden Tate situation, but I'm really rooting for him. I just have a really bad vibe about him. Not about him as a person. I know he went through a lot of stuff, but about the fit. Not even the fit. I just don't think it's going to work for some reason. I hope it does, though, because I want the Giants to succeed.
needed to get Dimes weapons. They got Dimes a weapon. Need to get Mac weapons. We'll see how Juju does. I'm very intrigued by the move. I agree with you, AJ, at this point. You talked me down from the ledge there because I was having the normal reaction you see online. But, you know, he almost had a 1,000-yard season this year. And if he can even get like 700 or 800, I'll take that over what we've been dealing with in New England the past couple seasons. Just got to go find a one here before the draft.
Yeah, Juju rocks. He's basically going to be a wide receiver tight end just in the slot. He's a big body. He's kind of built like a tight end, but will play wide receiver. I love Juju, and he's just going to be perfect for Mac with the checkdowns. He'll always be there for him. So it's a match made in heaven, in my opinion.
Yep. We'll see where it goes. And, yeah, Liverpool bow out of the Champions League and lose to Bournemouth. Nothing to talk about there. We move on. You know.
Balogun. Florian, whatever your first name is, Balogun, please come to the United States. You're never going to hear this. Please become a part of the United States men's national team. We need you. I will buy the jersey instantly. When we go to the Gold Cup game or whatever USA game we go to this summer, if Balogun declares he's, you know, going to play for the U.S., the jersey will be bought. We need it.
Yeah, U.S. put out a really interesting camp roster. I'm excited to see the team come out the next 2 weeks and hopefully get two wins. You know, the roster's not perfect, but it's a good integration of guys who should have played at the World Cup. Looking at, you know, Miles Robinson, if he was fully healthy, Gio Reyna, if other circumstances weren't going on. And then a lot of guys, you know, who are on the fringe for the World Cup or dual nats who are kind of coming in now, be it, you know, Taylor Booth or some of the other guys throughout the lineup that are going to get their first shot with the national team here, the A team here. So we'll see how they do. People are going to thrive. Perfect opportunity for Luca Della Torre. I'm excited to see him this week.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm excited for Booth. And whatever happens, happens. Just win. They should win both games. Stat pad a little bit. Make the stats look pretty. Just no one get injured. And hopefully Pepe does good too. Big Ricardo Pepe. I'm very happy that DK got called up too.
Yep. It's weird to only see two strikers brought, but we'll see what they're cooking up there.
Well, yeah, we weren't sure if they were going to call up Sargent or not, so I'm fine with them not calling him up. I'd rather see DK and Pepe anyway, because those are who I... If we don't get Balogun, those are, in my opinion, the face of the striker for the U.S., obviously. Not a hot take at all.
Sorry to cut you off. Apparently, Sargent's, like, fighting back from an injury. Norwich is kind of an easing back in, so that could have been the reason. But
that's fine.
I don't know. Not a doctor.
Let him cook there. I'm happy that Miles Robinson's the only MLS player that they called up to. He should have been there. Obviously, he got hurt. He also had that weird thing that happened at a bar. He didn't pay for his bar tab. He got arrested for that. So he's had an interesting 2022-2023 season. But I'm excited for him. I don't think he's going to be... Where would we rank him? Probably fourth or fifth, right, in the center back rankings? Obviously, you got Ream. I would rate CCV over him. He's better than Zim.
Who, Miles?
Yeah.
No, Miles is the best in the pool, in my opinion.
That's fair. He's really good, but we got to see what he does. How many games has he played since he tore his ACL, though?
He's only played the 3 Atlanta games this year, I think. Let me double-check that. But, I'm very excited. Robinson's awesome. Great. If he was at the World Cup, I mean, I don't think things would have gone too differently, but I think we would have looked a lot better out the back.
Do you think he's better than Ream, though?
Ream's having kind of a low-key, not great season. A little slower. I think Fulham's, you know, team defense saves him a lot. Yeah, Miles has played 3 games since the injury, so he had 3 MLS games, put in 7.1, 7.1, 7.8. Excited to see him back in the national team side because he was really good for us last year with Nations League, and, you know, he's a big missing part of the World Cup. I think he is CB1, and he's probably a little too old now for a move to Europe, but if he wants to go that path, I think he totally could because he rocks. He's very fast.
That's fair. Yeah, I'd probably put him at 2 under Ream, and then I would put Richards 3 on Crystal Palace. Richards was so good this season. He just hasn't played consistently enough for some reason, probably because of injuries, but he was really good against United.
Yeah, weird for Richards to not get the call here, but I guess Crystal Palace probably just didn't want to release him.
and then your boy CCV at 4.
Yeah, probably. I probably have CCV above Ream at this point because, like, you also want to plan for 2026, and I don't know how much gas Ream is gonna have left in the tank then. But this is a celebratory window of what the team was able to accomplish at the World Cup. So bringing a couple of those guys back, like Ream and Zimmermann, is completely fine in my book.
Yeah, and then like I said, Booth will get his first ever cap. That'll be fun. He's been awesome in the Netherlands this year, and he could also be a big piece for the future.
Hell yeah. Yeah, defense looking a little sturdy, striker looking good, midfield looking solid. It's going to be a fun camp.
And we have a goalie finally, a confirmed goalie. No question marks of Stefan, Turner. We could still wait for Goga, but other than that.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be Turner. I mean, it was always going to be Turner, but it's nice that the politicking of Berhalter is gone with Stefan. Just kind of giving a couple guys a fresh slate here. He might even get a game here. We'll see. But, he'll get a fair shake like everyone should. Completely fine with it.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm tired. We're all tired. I want to go to bed. Skates at the Stakes. You could find the podcast on Twitter, Skates and Stakes. You can find us on Instagram, Skates at the Stakes. You can find me on Twitter at DeVito Hockey. You can find Ryan on Twitter at Rat Martin. And you can find Jake on Twitter at Prime Jakey. Hope you guys enjoyed. We'll be back sometime next week. Let's go, Islanders, baby.